The reading there left off with verse 6, where Jeremiah was protesting that he was only a youth. But let's read verses 7 through 10 to see what the follow-up of that conversation was. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." In order to start building properly, one needs to pull down and get rid of whatever is in the way, whatever is detrimental to having a good crop. Jeremiah began his work under King Josiah. This would be the last good king of Judah. All who followed after were wicked and corrupt, until finally the captivity came about. So Jeremiah begins his career with a high point, a good king. Josiah was convinced that in order to receive God's blessing, Judah would have to live and worship according to God's true pattern. Would it not be wonderful if the majority of the members of the Lord's church today possessed that same attitude that King Josiah had? Now, there are various lessons that we can learn from King Josiah's edicts, but these are recorded in 2 Kings 23. So if you would like to turn there, we're going to be there most of the time this evening. 2 Kings chapter 23. And we're just going to make some observations from what we read in this text. We want to start with verses 1 and 2, where we notice that all people were required to hear the law. Then the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. It is the Word of God that enables people to make decisions that are right. It is the Word of God that allows people to see what needs to be removed and what needs to be built. Without hearing the Word of God, one will not know what he needs to do in order to please God Almighty. In Jeremiah 10:23, we read, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." And if you don't believe that, look at some of the kingdoms and some of the nations that are being directed by dictators who do not know God and do not care about God. And you will see very quickly that there is unfairness, there is bribery, there is all kinds of evil that is going on, because there's no understanding of what God wants. There's not even a desire to know what God wants. Many people think they can direct themselves, but look at individuals who are their own God, or look at nations who are run by men who think they are their own God, and see what happens as a result. The way of man is not in himself. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the knowledge. It is not in man who walks, as opposed to God who creates, to direct his own steps. And another way that is put is in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The Word of God is the truth that can save mankind. But let's go to the next point. Not only did Josiah require the people to hear the Word of God, always a great place to start, he also set the example himself. Notice verse 3 of 2 Kings 23. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord. God didn't require this of him. It was his idea. He would follow the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and its statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took their stand for the covenant. He set an example of leadership by making this commitment, and the people followed. Now, unfortunately, when he died, they followed those who led in the opposite direction too. But at least at this time, this is a great commitment on his part and the part of the people. This that he did inspired people to follow him. This is what true leadership is about. True leadership is not issuing a bunch of commands for other people to follow. It's setting the example. We have people today in high places who are good at issuing commands and things, but how about setting the proper example in all things? Josiah set the example, and this was noticed in the kingdom. But let's go to verse 4 for our third point, and that is, Having read the Word of God, the Word of the Covenant, and having committed himself to following God, Josiah begins to build by tearing down those things that should not be there. Verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeeper, to bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal and for Asherah and for the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the brook Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. He ordered the priests to remove all of these offensive items that had been brought into the temple of all places, the temple of God, which was to be holy to God. And yet, his predecessors had brought these idol-type things into the temple, which he now ordered removed. The objects made by the hands of men do not glorify God, and they are contrary to his word. They needed to be purged. They needed to be taken out. There are some congregations today that have added offensive things. There are some who have brought in instruments of music, and those things need to be taken out of the house of God. Those things need to be cast out of the church. Those who have added it are wrong and they are not acting in harmony with the New Testament teaching regarding worship. It has no place in the church of God. Associated with that, the same can be said of hand clapping, which some congregations have adopted in their assemblies, and all that that does is to take the place of a percussion instrument. It's still not authorized, it's still not right, and it needs to be taken out and cast out in all those places where they have put it in obedience to error rather than truth. If elders in the Lord's church today would read the Bible and vow to abide by the Bible, as Josiah did, there would be a tremendous purging in some congregations of the Lord's church, and there needs to be. Also needing to be purged are the false doctrines that some have brought into the church. False doctrines like those of Mac Deaver, who argues that God and the Holy Spirit works upon us directly, not just through the Word, but directly, which would bring back the idea of really spiritual gifts in the first century. Those were directly done upon the people by the Holy Spirit as part of their gift. But we know that God designed those to be temporary and to be done away, and yet Deaver has brought them in. They need to be cast out any place that they might exist. The same could be said of the doctrine of Max King, who is teaching error, saying, like some of those in the New Testament, that the resurrection is already past. That's a false teaching, and it needs to be cast out of any congregation where it's being taught. And we could go on and on listing other things, such as teachings of Reuben Shelley and those of like mind with him, who insist that just about everything is not a fellowship issue. I'm not so sure, but what Shelley hasn't been successful. Even among those who decry his teaching and his doctrine, and who would not for one moment allow him to speak in their assemblies, and yet we find congregation after congregation willing to accept doctrines that are not false taught by other people. It doesn't do much good to deny Reuben Shelley and then accept somebody else's teaching that's equally false. Now, he came up with the idea, and a lot of people have echoed this, that, well, there are certain things that are just not fellowship issues. Oh, well, what do you mean by that? Give me an example. Well, instrumental music. That shouldn't be a fellowship issue. And as you press and ask more, it turns out there isn't anything that should be a fellowship issue. Except maybe those who insist that some things are fellowship issues. We can do without those folks. But we don't want to deny or criticize hardly anything else. The fact is, there are a lot of things that are not fellowship issues. But the way many brethren are approaching them today, I seriously doubt that they would agree with Paul that Hymenaeus and Philetus ought to be delivered to Satan because of saying the resurrection's already passed. That wouldn't be any big deal to a lot of brethren today. But it was to Paul, because it was error. And error, if believed and practiced, causes people to be lost. It can't simply be looked at as something that, well, I don't really care that much about it. It doesn't matter whether you care about it. Does God care about it? And so those who allow all kinds of false doctrines to enter into the church, the body of Christ, these, every one of them, need to be cast out, just as Josiah cast things out of the temple of God. And by the way, we would know better. We would know and recognize these if we did, number one, hear and know the Word of God. I'm afraid there are too many leaders, too many elders, too many deacons who don't know the Word of God as they ought. But it needs to be done. You cannot build if you do not have and know the Word of God. Let's go on to number four. And the fourth point is going to deal with not only removing idolatrous objects, we're also going to remove idolatrous priests. Notice verse 5. Then he removed the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. Those who had burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to constellations, and to all the host of heaven. Notice how thorough that was. If priests are ordained to do all of these things, to offer things to Baal, to the sun, the moon, the stars, constellations, to do all of this, that means the city is thoroughly saturated by those things. Why didn't somebody stand up before Josiah? Why didn't somebody see the seriousness of what was going on? But imagine this king taking on the status quo and saying, we're not going to do this anymore. How do you think some people reacted to that? How do you think the idolatrous priests reacted to that? This could not have been a popular move on the part of many. But King Josiah did it. He removed the idolatrous priests. It was a shame that they had been allowed to do what they were doing in the first place. Not only allowed, but even commissioned to do what they were doing. The king knew that the priests were a great influence upon the people. Josiah did not start at the bottom and work his way up. He started at the top with those who had the responsibility to see that the word of God was respected. The idolatrous priests had to go if the people were going to ever please God. They had to be taken down and thrown out just as much as the objects did. The same is true of turncoat compromising preachers today. Godly elders should never allow those to come anywhere near the church, those who do not respect and fully proclaim God's word. They should never be invited to speak. Brethren should never be encouraged to go hear those people. There is so much looseness today that everybody seems like they're fellowshipping everything. Even at Faulkner University on their lectures this year, they scheduled F. Legard Smith, who has written two or three books that take issue with biblical doctrines. I don't know how anybody could invite him to speak that considered themselves sound. They invited Dave Miller, who has never repented of preaching their elder reevaluation, reaffirmation doctrine. And they invited Jerry Rushford, who directed Pepperdine's lectures for over 30 years and invited Reuble Shelley and Max Lucado and every heretic you've ever heard of, probably, to come to Pepperdine and speak. Why are they fellowshipping men like this? Where are the elders? Where are those who are in charge saying, we don't want brethren to hear these people? But here they are inviting them to come speak instead. Many brethren sit in congregations today wringing their hands and bemoaning that they do not understand what is happening to the Lord's church. Well, what has happened again and again is that liberal preachers and some youth ministers have been paid to lead both the old and the young astray. They need to know the Word of God, the very first point, again. Now, number five, Josiah took action. He took action. Let's read verses 6-9. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem and burned it at the brook Kidron and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons. Yes, this is referring to homosexuals that were in the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the wooden image. And he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba. Also he broke down the high places of the gates, which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were to the left of the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. Now they're hiding out. But Josiah is going to deal with them also. So he took action. It doesn't do any good to decry something that's wrong if you don't do anything about it. When you have the opportunity, as king, he had the opportunity. Now, there are several things that are listed in the verses that follow. We're not going to take the time to look at all of those, although I invite you to read the entire text. But we want to call attention to two things in particular. One is in verse 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire to Molech. Yes, they had been sacrificing their children to a false god. God wouldn't accept a human sacrifice, so it had to be to a false god. Imagine how human sacrifice must have grieved God, that they were willing to follow the pagans even that far into wickedness. But are we in America much different when a Planned Parenthood representative seeks to get a good price for body parts of aborted children in order to buy herself a Lamborghini? If you have not heard that news story, you need to change your source of news. There are some that are not calling attention to that hardly at all. But that speaks to the fiber of our nation. How dare anyone sell the parts of an infant to be harvested so that people could be enriched off of the sale of those parts? That is simply too far. I do not even believe pro-abortion people agree with that for the most part. Although it's amazing how quiet some people have been in condemning the practice. Israel had already been taken captive. And so we want to look at verses 15 and 16 to see how this relates to another point that is made in 2 Kings 23, beginning with verse 15. Verse 15. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, had made, both that altar and that high place he broke down. And he burned the high place and crushed it to powder and burned the wooden image. As Josiah turned, he saw the tombs that were there on the mountain, and he sent and took the bones out of the tombs and burned them on the altar and defiled it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who had proclaimed these words. Remember back in 1 Kings chapter 13, the story of the man of God? He told Jeroboam that later on a king would arise, Josiah by name, who would burn the bones of these priests. And so he did. He did precisely what had been prophesied by the man of God. How ironic that a king of Judah would end up going to the north and burning the bones of the priests who were not priests authorized by God on that altar. Nobody in the north had ever done away with those altars, had never done away with those golden calves. Nobody there had ever done that, and they were taken captive because of it, 2 Kings 17:21. But here it was now taken care of by the king of Judah. Religion created by men is not suitable for mankind. Religion created by men is not a good substitute for what God instituted. People cannot, with God's approval, continue to cherish and cling to that which is wrong. Josiah got rid of all of that. In order to build properly, he had to take away all the rubbish that was in the way, both in the temple and around Jerusalem, and in the hearts of people, that rubbish was still there. Josiah not only took away what God had not authorized, he restored what God had commanded. Let's look at verses 21 and 22. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant." Surely such a Passover had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel. For in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. How could they neglect the most fundamental observance, besides the Sabbath day, that God had given them? Of course, they violated that at times too, didn't they? But they were required to remember their deliverance from Egypt always. But they had not been properly doing so. So Josiah not only took away the things God had not authorized, idolatrous priests, idols in the temple of God, but he restored what God had authorized, what God had commanded, the observance of the Passover. Then, number seven, Josiah could accomplish all these wondrous things because he had a good heart, one that totally relied on God. 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 25. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. No one had done that. According to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Truly an example in how to deal with sin and how to reestablish righteousness. The truth of the matter is that sometimes before brethren can build up, they must tear down. A proper foundation cannot be erected on sinking sand. Didn't Jesus make that clear in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 with the wise man and the fool? King Josiah knew that rotten rubble had to be carried away before the people could build properly. Jeremiah was told the same thing as he began his years of preaching. Remember what we read in Jeremiah 1, verses 5 and 6. There are six things that are listed. Four of them are negative and come first before the two positive things that God gave Jeremiah to do. Let's notice it again. Do not be afraid of their faces, verse 8, for I am with you to deliver you. Then he touched his mouth, verse 9, said, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over, verse 10, the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. The church today needs so much to grasp these biblical principles in how God dealt with his people in the days of Josiah the king. We might ask the question, where do you stand on these things tonight? You know, many do not seem to think that teaching, that doctrine is important. But that casual attitude is exactly what's led to many of the problems in the Lord's church today, to the very current problems we have. We must go by what the Word of God says, to know it and stand up for it. Well, but nobody else does it. Yeah, that's what Josiah saw when he looked around the city of Jerusalem. He saw idolatrous priests. He saw objects of idol worship. He saw that it thoroughly permeated it. But he said, we're going to fix that. Brethren need to make the same stand today. We see doctrines that are not correct. We see worship practices that are not correct. We're not only not going to do those, we're not going to fellowship anyone who does. Somebody has to make a stand. If not, we just continue descending into oblivion. And one of these days, if nobody stands up, you're not going to be able to recognize the distinctiveness of the Lord's church anymore. Brethren must stand for what is right. This evening, if you have never obeyed the gospel and you want to know what to do, we'll be glad to study with you. If you already know and you're ready to obey, we're happy to assist you this hour in repenting and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're already a child of God, where have you been standing in regards to all of these things? We cannot just continue to allow the rubble to be where it is. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to be put away.